Paul always gives us larger dimensions, my friends, for loving somebody, for seeing somebody in a better light. And this is what he's doing in chapter 14 when he talks about everybody living and dying for the Lord. Let's look at this. Colin Cook and How It Happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to the gospel, the good news. We can only live by good news, my friends. Everything else is death. Let me tell you that. No matter how much partying, everything else is death without living with the good news. And the good news is that God has loved us in Christ. He has taken the burden of our humanity. And above all, He has fulfilled His promise to save the world through the seed of Abraham, which is Jesus Christ. All right, now we're looking at all of this in the light at the moment of chapter 14, which is in the light of this counsel, where he starts in chapter 12 by saying, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your life as a sacrifice to God to care for people. And in that caring, he says this in chapter 14, for none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the living and the dead. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, all as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Now, this is a very, very interesting passage, my friend, because as I said, it puts new dimensions on people, that each one of us has an eternal destiny, that the man with a sign by the side of the road, a cardboard sign, you know, by the side of the road, who might look all disheveled and dirty, and one is tempted to have contempt, that man is destined for the glory of God, as he puts faith in Christ. Therefore, I cannot have contempt for him. I should not have contempt for him. Whether I give him money or not is a separate issue, but not to have contempt. You see, Paul's talking about all of this in relation to this chapter about not judging, receiving a weaker brother. Because he says, for to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that we might be Lord, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Now, we've heard this so long, my friends, but we need to remind ourselves again. You and I believe in the resurrection. You and I do not believe that death is the last word. You and I believe that death is an enemy that has been conquered by Christ, that a person who stays in, who goes to a grave will not stay in it, but it will rise again, but he will rise again. I remember when my kids were young, back there in Pennsylvania, we had a little gingerbread house kind of thing. It was an old stone house, 3 foot thick walls, my friends. It was a rented house, built in the 1850s, so we understood, and behind it was a hill. It was in the countryside, and then at the top of the hill was a sort of gingerbread church built in that same stone style, and then across the road to it was a cemetery, and it was a lovely, idyllic kind of area. And on spring and summer days, sometimes, occasionally, when I'd take my boys for a walk, we'd walk through the cemetery. Now, this was not a dull and dour and dismal kind of thing. We would go there, and we would sometimes read the gravestones, and we'd figure out how old this man or that man was when he died, or how old his parents were when he died. And then I would say this, do you know, boys, everybody in these graves is going to rise again. He's going to come out, and Jesus is going to come down from the skies, and there's going to be a big trumpet sound and lots of angels all over the skies, And an angel's going to descend from the skies, come down from the skies, and he's going to tell this man in this grave, get up, Charlie, and there's going to be a little earthquake, and that grave's going to open, and this guy's going to come out looking all beautiful and all handsome and all glorious. And these boys of mine, you know, their eyes almost popping out and their jaws dropping, could hardly, well, I don't think they, it's a question of they could hardly believe it. They did believe it. They could believe anything Dad said. And they were awestruck. I hope that that little, those kinds of events would remind my sons forever through life that death is not the end. There's going to be a resurrection. We believe that, for to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. You see, God gave Abraham a promise that he would inherit the world. Not just Canaan, the world, Paul says. For the promise that he would be heir of the world, Paul says in chapter 4, verse 13, for the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Well, heir of the world? What, this shabby, broken-down old world? No, of course not. That was just a type of what was to come. He was to be heir of the glorious world through his Son, who was a type of Jesus Christ. He would inherit the eternal earth. That's our promise. How do we get there? All these died in faith, it says in Hebrews 11, not having received the promise until that day, until the day when we shall all receive it together at the glorious coming of Jesus Christ, who will descend from heaven, the dead shall rise, those who believe in him, and the living who believe in him shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we shall all go up to the kingdom of heaven together to be with Christ for 1,000 years, and then we shall return with the city of God, and the whole earth will be recreated in the glory of God himself. Now I'm telling you, my friend, when you think of that and when you believe that, then it puts a whole new dimension on everybody you meet. The little children who die of starvation today in various parts of the world, they are inheritors of eternity. Receive the children, let them come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. They're not little bits of trash who, though wandering around on trash heaps of the world to find food, some of them, they are God's creation and recreation in Christ. This is what we must put upon people, impose upon people in our mind's eye, that this man is destined for the kingdom. We do that out of love. We don't know whether he will fully receive Christ or not. We don't know whether he will have faith in Christ in the end, but we treat him as if he were to do so. And this is why Paul puts this whole issue of judging a brother in the context of his eternity. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so, you see, I'm to see my brother in the destiny that he has. For it is written, all, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Now don't get nervous about this judgment. It says, so each of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, some people get very afraid of that, and they say, but I thought I was saved in Christ. Yes, look at that verse and remember it in the context of chapter 8, verses 31 onwards. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Now look, my friends, if God declares you innocent by faith in Jesus Christ, then where do you stand in the judgment? You stand in the judgment defended by God himself. Verse 34, who is to condemn? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. If he is at the right hand of God now, do you not think he will be at the right hand of God in the judgment? Of course. So what's the point of the judgment? Well, it's a lengthy story and I can't profess even to know the totality of it, but of this I am sure, that God is going to demonstrate in the judgment the believer's faith by how it affected his love for his brother, how it led him to be merciful to his brother. He will not be judged by the intrinsic works except how those works affected, that is, how his faith affected those works in relation to his brother. Ah, my friends, are you having a hard time forgiving somebody? Are you having a hard time being merciful to someone who has been unkind and cruel to you? This is how we do it. We extend faith and we say, Father, you love this man. You have a plan for his eternity. You will bring him into fellowship with you at all costs, the cost even of your Son. If he is lost, it is his choice of unbelief. But Father, I would rather believe in your power of love than his power of unbelief. And therefore, I am going to pray for this man as if he were an eternal son or daughter of God. See, that's how it goes, my friends. We commit these people and ourselves to God, because if we accept that we have been saved, we have more courage and love and ability to love the brother who also has that potential. Please remember, friends, that this program comes to you as a result of your donations. Thank you very, very much for all of you who consider this program, who are partners of it, and perhaps there are those who'd like to become partners. Now, what is a partner? It's someone who donates on a monthly basis to keep this program on the air. By the way, we're in our 16th year of broadcasting. Isn't that awesome and wonderful? And I praise God for that. Who has used you, my dear friends, as instruments, as agents, to keep it on the air. Now, you can donate monthly if you like, or you can donate quarterly, or just periodically, or annually if you like. You send your donation to FaithQuest, or donations to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. I'll give you that address again in a minute. Or, if you like, you can arrange for me to take it off your card each month by calling me at 303-738-8694. Tell me how much you'd like me to take off each month, and I'll do that for you. That's 303-738-8694. Or you can take care of it by PayPal. You go to our website, faithquestradio.com. By the way, you can hear the broadcasts any time of the day or night on faithquestradio.com. Press the donations button and you'll see the PayPal icon there. Let me give you that address again if you want to send a check. FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. And I'll send you my Cook's Monthly Message, my friend, which is presently on the Book of Colossians, as a thank you, and it'll lift your heart as you go through the month. So I appreciate your support. I'll see you next time, my friends. Cheerio, and God bless.